Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Yeah, awesome. Well, good morning. Hey, welcome to week 2 of a 6-part series in the study of Galatians. My name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're so glad you're here. If you're visiting today, I just want to add my welcome to Lee's. In fact, let's welcome all our guest church family. Let's say thank you for joining us today. Yeah, awesome. If you are our guest today, I want to ask you to do 2 things. One, Lee's already mentioned, and that is complete that connection card and drop it in the faith box on your way out today. The second thing I want to ask you to do is I want to meet you. And so at the end of this service today, I'll be right down here at the front of the stage. And if you're visiting today, I want you to come and say hello. I'd love to shake your hand and connect with you and have a small gift for you. Not that any of you probably need a gift, but wow, I'm going to play soccer with that. All right. So not that any of you probably need that, but I'd love to give that to you as a token of our appreciation for being our guest today. So like I said, we're in this series in the book of Galatians. And if you've been around the Church at Lake Travis for a while, you'll notice that we kind of go through these rhythms. We call them seasons, where we really focus on helping teach some stuff that might be helpful to maybe a person who's not yet a Christian, maybe some topical things that will help people that just are checking this whole thing out kind of consider what this might look like. And then in other seasons, we do something where we actually build the body. We're helping strengthen the church and helping the church be stronger. And we've just come out of one of those seasons where we did uphill habits and we talked about some areas of our life that needed healing. And now we're moving into this season of building the church and helping the church grow internally so that we can then go into another season, which leads us right up to Easter, where we will be reaching out to our friends and we'll have another time where we'll see a lot of people come to know Christ. And really, this is a great time because I think that this series, for us, we're coming out of that season where we've had people that have come to know Christ, and now we're going to talk about, hey, here's how you can live a free life in Christ. Here's how you can live out this thing that you've now said, I want to be a Christ follower, and so here's how we're going to do it. And the book of Galatians is a great way to do that because it allows me to lead you into the freedom that God wants you to have. So, the book of Galatians, it was written by one of the most prolific leaders in the New Testament, and his name was the Apostle Paul. Some of you may just know him by Paul, but he was an apostle. An apostle is a big word that simply means one who's sent. And you may be asking, what is he sent to do? Well, he's sent to start new churches. And so the Apostle Paul would go and he would start new churches. He wasn't a pastor, like he didn't go and stay at the same church like I do, but he would go and start new churches over and over again. He'd raise up leaders and raise up pastors, and then he would write them letters. Sometimes we might hear the word epistle, apostle, 2 different words. Apostle is the sent one. Epistle is the thing that he would send, okay? It's the letter that he would write. And the Apostle Paul would write these letters to these different groups of people. Now, he specifically felt called to go and take the message that he was carrying away from the Jewish community into the non-Jewish community, the Gentile community. That would be most of us here in this room, unless you have a Jewish background. And so Paul was saying, I'm going to go take this message out to these people. One of the places he took it was to the church at Galatia. That was just north and to the west of Israel and the modern-day area of Turkey right now. And all that said, when you read those books, like Galatians or Philippians or those different books, basically, what you can know is that the Apostle Paul was writing to them on how they can live out their faith in Christ, and then for us today, how we can too live out our faith in Christ. Now, it's really an incredible book, the book of Galatians, because it was written to a group of people to help get them back on track. Now, I don't know if you ever find yourself getting off track in your faith, but I certainly do, and I know that this book can help us. Now, it was written to this group of people that Paul had actually led to Jesus in this modern area of Turkey. And Paul had planted this great church, and then he left. And some Jewish Christians, he's going to the non-Jewish Christians. Some Jewish Christians come along, and they start telling the non-Jewish Christians, hey, what you guys did and just your faith in Christ wasn't enough. In fact, you need to take another step. And that step that you need to take is actually circumcision. I'm just getting a little uncomfortable thinking about that. Not a very popular church growth method for the church at that time. So Paul, he's writing this letter to them, and he says, let me teach you how to live a free life, where you don't have to be bound by the rules and regulations of the law anymore. So last week we talked about this. We said there's really two different brands of Christianity. And maybe one is not Christianity at all. In fact, what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1 is there's two types of gospels. One is a very, very rigid, rules-oriented, regulated way of living, and that way leads to death. But there's another that's very relational, and it leads to life. And that's what we talk about here. Is our mission at the Church at Lake Travis is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we want to live, is over here in the true gospel, not in this works-based righteousness that somehow tries to earn our favor with God. In fact, we want to come over here because God's already chosen and accepted and loved us, and we just simply love him in response to the love that he gives us. We talked about it last week, how one focuses on what you do, but one focuses on what Christ has already done. We said one focuses on getting God's approval, but one focuses on actually receiving God's love. One focuses on external, like fix all the stuff on the outside, clean up yourself, and then you come to Jesus. The other is, no, come to Jesus and let him work on the inside and let his life in you change your life. One is what I will call duty, and one is called delight. It's just loving the Lord and loving him and letting that life change us. Now, we use this language, and we use this language around here, and I think it's important for us to understand. If you've never read this in the book of Genesis, it's important to go back and read in the first couple of chapters to see this for yourself. There is in the Garden of Eden, there are a lot of trees, but there are two trees that are mentioned. One is the tree of life, and one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil really is all about the rules and regulations, and how do we live this life that kind of we've got to meet these certain expectations, a very religious way of living. People say all the time, I'm not a religious person, and I say, great, neither am I, because I'm over here. I want to live in the tree of life where I'm all about a relationship with God. And so that's important and kind of foundational just before we begin today, because I think that it's super easy for us to swing from tree to tree from time to time. I think when we get out on 620, it's real easy when traffic's bad for us to go over into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We start to treat people with shame and guilt and condemnation because they're not doing things the way we want them to do things. Can I get an amen? Anybody feeling that? Now, I believe that's the truth of the way that we tend to swing. And it's really challenging because here's where the tree of life is different. In traffic, when we get in traffic on 620, in the tree of life, we come from a place of compassion instead of condemnation. Like, condemnation is, well, where's that guy get it? Where does he think he gets a right to cut me off? Like, how can I deserve this, but over here in the tree of life, it's very different. It's like, oh man, that person's more important than me. They must be very big. They must have something important to get to that they just cut me off. Like, there's a compassion that flows out of the tree of life. And I believe this is so important and yet so challenging because I think we go back and forth. In fact, even in the New Testament, they struggled with this. They went from one place to the other, and we're going to look at one of those stories here today in the book of Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading today from the Message version of the Bible. The Message is not a literal translation of the Bible, but it's a version of the Bible that is in very user-friendly language. And in fact, if you have been around Christianity for a long time, sometimes it's good to go and read the Message because you just see things from a different perspective. And as I've been preparing for this series, I've been listening to this in the Message version of the Bible where I just am listening and soaking it in, and I'm starting to see this is such a clear theme in the book of Galatians as we read this together. So I wanted to read today from the book from the Message, and you can follow along. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen here. Later, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line. Living in the tree of life does not mean that we won't have confrontation from time to time, but it's the way the confrontation occurs and the focus of the conversation that happens. Here's the situation, he says. Earlier, before certain persons had come from James, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. Okay, but when that conservative group came from Jerusalem, he cautiously, noticed the word, pulled back. He went from one tree to the other tree. He swung and put as much distance as he could manage between himself and his non-Jewish friends. That's how fearful, living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil always produces fear and shame. That's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. We've talked about that a moment ago. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in the Antioch church joined in the hypocrisy so that even Barnabas was swept along in the charade. Like, this is one big charade. I think it's funny. He uses party language. I think that's the life-giving way to confront somebody, right? Like, you're over here having your party while we're over here having our party. This is one big charade. You've got this group of people who have a newfound faith, and they're loving Jesus, and they're on fire for him, and they're loving people. And then Peter comes along, and he's like trying to bring shame and guilt and condemnation on them, and Paul has to come in a life-giving way and confront his brother. And really, he addresses the theme of today's message, and that is, how do I keep from going back? Last week, we talked about the theme of the first chapter was, how do I become godly? Do I become godly through living a certain set of rules and regulations, or do I become godly through a relationship with God? And we said it's more from a relationship with God. But this week is saying, okay, now that I have that relationship with God, how do I stay there? And how do I not swing back to this other tree and really get off track? How do I not switch back? Because it's easy to go back. Sometimes it feels like there's this vine between the two trees where we swing from life-giving to death all of the time, living in freedom in one moment to judging people in the next moment. I think that is super easy. I was having lunch with Mark this week, and Mark and I were talking about how there are a lot of men who need to learn how to lead their families spiritually in our church community, and how if men will lead their family spiritually, how it'll just change the entire trajectory of our church and how people will start to grow in their faith. And he was talking about it. Mark was sharing with me. He was like, you know, a lot of men live like the first Adam. And the first Adam, what did he do? He chose to passively go the way with Eve and choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he said, What men really need to embrace is the way of the second Adam, and that is Christ, who followed a different kind of tree, a tree that was shaped in the form of a cross, that he willingly laid down his life and sacrificed his life so that we might all benefit from it. If men will get a picture of that, that will be life-giving for them. This week, I was driving, and I was looking at my phone while I was driving. Confession time, okay? I was looking at my phone while I was driving. I was just about to turn. I was headed towards Lowman's Crossing. I was about to turn right on Lowman's Crossing to head to the office. And I'm looking at my phone, and I look up, and facing me on 620 is Lakeway's finest, Lakeway Police Department, and the cop's looking right at me, and I'm like, I'm busted right in my, so immediately, he's sitting at a red light. He's not going to pull across, you know, traffic that's coming his way. So immediately, I turn on Lowman's Crossing, and I did what every one of you probably would have done. You would have went ahead and pulled over. No, I didn't. I ran. I turned the corner. I went in the Flores parking lot. I went around the corner, and I came back around, and I got back on 620. I was living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I was living in right and wrong and fear and shame and condemnation in that moment. And I didn't do that just to have a good sermon illustration for you. I was truly living in that place. Now, shame on your pastor for doing that. But I'm just confessing to you that I don't always live in the tree of life. I don't always live this life-giving way of life. Sometimes I swing from tree to tree. We live in this tension of living in a life-giving relationship with Jesus. Quickly we go into condemnation and shame and judgment. It's so easy to do that, and Paul knows this. And here's what he says in verse 16. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping. This isn't about rule-keeping, he says, but only through personal, notice the word, faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? Well, here's how we know, because we tried it. And we had the best system of the rules the world has ever seen. The Jewish system was awesome. They had thousands of rules to follow. Like, you don't do this and you don't put your sock on the wrong way. You put it on the right way. And they had every detail ironed out, Paul says. We had the best system ever possible. Convinced, though, that no human being can please God by self-improvement. I think this is so important. You go to Barnes & Noble, you go to Amazon, you look on the self-improvement section, and there are literally thousands of resources for self-improvement. Everybody wants to improve self, but Paul says here, there's no self-improvement plan that works. In fact, he says, we came to a place where we had to believe. Something had to change in our heart. We believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting. Notice that word. It's an internal word, not an external thing, in the Messiah, not by trying an external thing to be good. What actually took place is this. I love this phrase. He says, I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So I quit being a lawman. We talked about that last week. So that I could be God's man. I feel this tension as I read this. And maybe you feel the tension. Maybe it's all of us. Maybe we all feel the tension where we feel the tension to switch back to an old way of rule keeping instead of resting in the grace that God has for us. And so really what we're talking about is, what is the secret to not switch back? And it comes from the last couple of verses. And I'll just say this for all of you who are visiting, if you're not a Christian and you're just checking this whole thing out, this is probably not the most popular message you'll ever hear. Okay, this isn't like the message series that we designed to grow the church. Like, this isn't, we're building into the lives of believers. And so if you're here and you're not a Christ follower, you can just kind of time out, or, you know, you can say, well, maybe if I become a Christ follower, that's what I need to know in the future, but just give you a pass right here. So here's what it is. The single biggest daily choice that any one of us can make, if we don't want to switch back from the tree of life to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to the other kind of gospel, to a works-based gospel, is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Paul says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I understand what Jesus has done for me. Jesus died on the cross for me. I understand he was beaten, he was tortured so that I might have life. But in having life, I too now am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We call this living the crucified life. Living the crucified life. I was talking with Ashley about this yesterday, and she was like, ooh, like crucified. Like, that's a harsh word. I'm like, yeah, it is. I remember we used to watch the television series Friday Night Lights, and there's a guy on the TV show named Landry, and Landry was in a band, and he was in a band called Crucifictorious, and I just always used to cringe, like, that's an awful name for a band, and I think about, like, living the crucified life and think, like, are you serious, Jeremy? Like, you're going to talk about that on a Sunday morning? Like, you're going to talk about living a life where you have to die? That doesn't sound like that leads to freedom. That doesn't sound like that's very life-giving. And here's what I would say is that it truly is life-giving. In fact, if you want to come to a place of real freedom, I believe there are a few things that are in us that have to die. If you want to be someone who is, what I'll just say, consistent in your relationship, over here living in the tree of life, receiving the love of God, and living in the gospel, then I think there are some things that the scripture says that are going to have to die. Jesus actually talked about this. Maybe you remembered Matthew chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain. This is at the end of his ministry and the end of his life here on earth. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must, it wasn't an option, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, the disciples at that point, they think, like, Jesus is the king and that he's come to rule on the earth. And they don't understand that what Jesus has come to do is be the king in the spiritual sense, not in the natural sense on the earth. So they think, like, Jesus is literally the man. Like, if anybody can do it, Jesus can do it. And then Jesus comes along and says, I'm going to die. It's kind of a bubble buster for the disciples, and they get offended, like, oh, you're not going to die, Jesus. I mean, and by the way, you can always tell if you're living in the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whether or not you respond to someone disagreeing with you with frustration or offense, because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil always solicits a frustrated, condemning response, like, oh, the tree of life's like, I love you, man. Go for it. Here's the interesting thing. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find that hilarious. Like, this is the Son of God who is actually living this amazing life, who's here on the earth serving the poor, taking care of the widow, and healing people all along the way with miraculous things. And Jesus is doing all of this for the people. And then Peter, with his big foot, big foot and his big mouth, he sticks it in it once again, and he rebukes Jesus. Now, I think it's interesting, because it just shows Peter in that moment wasn't loving Jesus. He was interested in his own plan. He says, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, I hope he never says this to one of us, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but you have in mind the things of men. Peter, there's too much of you in that statement. Peter, you're living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You need to embrace the life of God. And Jesus says what will truly help us live will actually be something we might not have expected. Check it out. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross," cross being a symbol of death, "and follow me." Jesus says, if you really want to live life to the full, then you're going to have to do something extreme. That is, you're going to have to die. And then he dangles this carrot out in front, and he says, for whoever wants to save his life, you want to save your life? Okay, great. Yeah, I want to save my life. They'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find his life. If you will learn this art of living the crucified life, really there'll be nothing that life can throw your way. I think it's interesting to think about it this way, and that is, dead people don't respond. Dead people don't react. Dead people don't get all in condemnation. They don't say, like, oh, they don't get frustrated in traffic. Dead people don't get frustrated in traffic. Dead people don't fight with their spouse. Dead people are dead. They've surrendered their life. So they just don't respond. And I think there's an art to this. Most people don't want to hear this message, though. Most people want to hear a message on how we can change traffic on 620, not how we can change our own self and how we respond to traffic on 620. But here's what I would say. We want change situations, but we don't want to change. But we need to change because our situations may be tough. We may have tough marriages. We may have tough financial situations. We may have all these situations in our life that may be tough, but it's only when we change that we'll be able to handle those tough situations in a God-honoring way. Sometimes, I believe, we blame the enemy for things that really need to change in us. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, here's the real truth. I don't need my situation to change. I need to change. And in order for that to change, I have to die. Are you with me, everybody? Everybody take in two deep breaths. This is heavy stuff. All right. One more. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Now, give two people a high five. We need some energy right now. Give two people a high five. But, yeah. All right. Good. All right. Come on. Yeah, we've got to break the tension here, okay? So we're talking about living the crucified life. Here's what Romans chapter 6 says. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with." That body of sin, all the impatience, all the anger, all the frustration, all the sin in our life, all the judgment, that might be done away with, that we should no longer, there's an end point, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. The Apostle Paul is writing because he wants freedom for the people that he's writing to. That's what I want for you. I want you to be able to live a free life in Christ, and I want to teach you this art of dying to self, and one that even you might say, this is tough stuff for believers today. And I would say, yeah, it was even tough for the original apostles. The Apostle Paul had to teach this principle to the Apostle Peter and call him out on it, because it's easy, as we talked about, to swing from tree to tree. So how do we live this crucified life? I'm going to talk about three specific ways that we need to live a crucified life if we're really going to truly embrace the life of God that he has for us. Three ways that we need to die if we really want to live. So number one is to die to self. Die to self. Now, you don't know this because your last name is not self, but you don't know how awful the jokes are that lead to, or that come with having the last name of self. I mean, Jeremy selfish, Jeremy all about himself, like, you know, like that. That's just normal. Like that's what I've grown up with my whole life. And I'm not talking today about a death to Jeremy self. I'm talking about a death to yourself. When I call people on the phone and like an operator or whatever, and I'm telling them my name, I'm like, Jeremy Self. And she's like, oh yeah, how do you spell that last name? And I'm like, self, like yourself. Well, so today I'm talking about crucify yourself. So there's no confusion. This isn't about me necessarily, although it is about me. It's also about you. What does it mean to crucify yourself? Now, here's the thing. That's kind of a little bit funny, but this is not a laughing matter, because I think we all need a moment in our life where we have that Carrie Underwood moment where we just say, Jesus, take the wheel. And we say, I can't do life on my own. I need your plan for my life. I don't want to run my own agenda for my life. Here's what the Apostle Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified. What if you just said that every day? What if you just said, God, every day, I want to surrender my plan. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, I die, everybody say it aloud and together, every day. I die every day. Not like one time event, it happened, and no, he said, this is a practice I got to put into my routine every single day. I die to myself today. When we're spending time with God and kind of just having our morning time with him, it's important where we just have this moment where we say, hey, God, I just die to myself. I am crucified with Christ. I realize that you died for me, Jesus, and I receive your love and I receive your forgiveness. And so today, because of what you've done, I'm just going to get out of your way. I'm not going to live my life in my own way. No one owes me anything. I don't want to live life on my agenda and my terms, God. I don't need things to go my way. I'm choosing right now to forgive everybody all the time. There, all those people that may hurt me or have hurt me in the past, I'm choosing to release them and forgive them, because I'm not going to get angry today. I'm gonna give you my emotions. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my attitude. Some of us got a little attitude. I'm going to give you that, God. I'm going to just crucify myself. And here's what I know to be true, and I've said this before. I'm a jerk without Jesus. And so if I don't crucify myself, if I don't submit my will and my emotions to Jesus and what he wants to do, then my life isn't very nice. And I think that there's interesting, because I think this only lasts about 24 hours. I think that's what Paul was getting at when he says, I die every day. Because we got to do this all over again. We got to say this all over again. John 3:30, the one of the most stalwarts of the faith, his name was John the Baptist. And he said these words about Jesus. He said, Jesus must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. You know, this week as I was preparing for this, I just had a couple of moments where I just had to get on the floor before God. And I just said, God, I don't want to shine in this message. I want you to shine. And on my knees there, I just, every time I do that, and I get humble before God, I put my face down, there's something that changes where I just seek God in a different way. And my posture demonstrates what my heart often says but sometimes doesn't follow with. But I can't be in this position without being humble before God. Heard a long time ago that a man on his face cannot fall far from that position. What would it look like if you did that every day? You just got on your face before God. I think it'd be hard for you to have a fight with your spouse if you just come from a place of a posture of being on your face before God. I think it would be hard for you to come in and bark out orders to the kids and, you know, do that whole deal and be harsh, get on 620 and be. I think all that changes. Because here's our action step for dying to self, and that's humility. It's humility. Now, you might not think that humility would lead to life, but it will. Humility might be one of the most life-giving attributes that you can put into place in your life. That leads us to the second way we can die, and that's to die to the flesh. Die to the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about skin here. You guys know that. I'm talking about a different kind of flesh, the kind that Paul talks about in Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, there's the word again, the sinful nature with its passions and desires. All of us have passions and desires, and most of the time, they're not in line with God's passions and desires. Most of the time, they're different than the ways of God. In fact, so many of us we're surrounded by lies that tell us, do what feels good. Just whatever feels good to you, man, do it. We hear these lies of, that's just who you are. People told me all growing up when I was a kid, oh, you're a self. Like, yeah, you got that red hair. You're going to be, you got a temper, don't you, boy? Yeah, I mean, that's not just who I am. For years I believed that to be true. And then as I believe, I behave. And so I was an angry person. Oh, that's not who I am. That's not what God says about me. I have to die. I have to crucify that piece of my life. But some people say, well, that's just your orientation. Is that really the truth? Because I think that we're supposed to die to ourselves. And here's the thing. People say, I've got my feelings. I've got my passions, my desires. Just follow your passion. I'm a passionate person. You can tell. But I don't need to follow my passions. I need to follow my God and His Word. I can't trust my feelings. I have to put those passions to death. I have to make those die every day, because here's what's going to happen. The enemy will bring those passions, those things that are opposite of the ways of God, and he'll try to lead me to fall into temptation in those areas of my passion. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Can I encourage you to make a choice? Make a choice right here today to not follow your feelings. Can I encourage you to live by principle? Live by principle, not by pressure. Because if you wait till you're in a moment of pressure, students, so you're over here, if you wait till you're in a moment of pressure to make a decision, you're probably not going to make the right decision. You've got to live as a person of principle, that you say, no, I'm going to make that choice right now so that when I'm under pressure, then I'll choose the way that makes me love Jesus more than the way that leads to pressure that causes me to go into temptation. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live by pressure. I want to live by God and His Word. My opinion, people say all the time, oh, we've all got opinions. Hey, my opinion is irrelevant. Listen, God's Word and the Holy Spirit lead us to life. And we can believe that truth. I love this. This is an inspiring verse to me because it calls to a point of decision. Joshua 24, it says, choose for yourselves this day. You've got to make a choice. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then I love Joshua's conviction. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get an amen? Come on. This is so important. People will say, how do I do this? What do I do? And I would just say, you've got to make a choice. This is your action step. So action step number one, you got to get low. Practice humility. Die to yourself. Action step number two, you've got to make a choice. You got to choose this day who you will serve, that you'll serve Jesus and follow Him and love Him. And number three is you got to die to the world. You got to die to the world. Galatians 6, verse 14 says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He's saying, I'm not bragging here. Like, this isn't about me. I'm not shining here. I'm crucified. I'm dead. I'm dead to self. I'm dead to my flesh and my passions and desires. And I'm dead to the world, to the external messages going on around me. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Paul says, if I truly am going to live a life-giving way of life following Jesus, then I got to have some filters on the world. I have to have some filters that just say, I'm going to be different than the world. I get it. Most of us are surrounded by all of these different messages that come from the world. And I would just say that we've got to have some filters in our life. And they're all varying degrees because of different people's past and what you've struggled with along the way. And some of us have to have extreme filters in our life. And others are like, maybe we don't have to have the same kind of level of filters. But here's the interesting thing. With these varying degrees of filters, I think some of us need to have filters that just say, I just don't listen to that. I just don't watch that. I just don't smoke that. I just don't drink that. I just don't go there. I tried to tell my wife that as I was preparing this message and she asked me to go to the grocery store, I said, I just don't go there. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't work, by the way. But I do believe we have to say there are some places I just don't go so that I'm not even faced with having to make a choice in that moment. I've got to filter out the things of the world because I know that they're not life-giving to me. I'm just not going to let the world in. Listen, you will never be able to live a life that's full of the life of Christ if you take your advice from Drake and God's plan for your life. You won't ever be able to have the kind of dynamic marriage if you're listening to 50 Shades of Grey on how to live for your marriage. You got to filter out the things of the world. It's quiet in here. How do you do that? Well, I would say, I can't tell you how to do that. You've got a Holy Spirit living in you, and you've got a Bible, and so let God instruct you on that. I'll tell you my story real quick, and the band can come. I came to know Christ when I was 17 years old. I've told that story many times, but I haven't probably shared what happened right after I came to know Christ. When I started following Jesus, I was really in love with Jesus because he had just rescued me from a really dark place. And so I wanted to live a life that was pleasing to him. And I'll say some of it may have been fueled from external, but there was also a deep internal desire that was in my heart that I just wanted to love Jesus more. And so I was out doing my job shortly after I'd came to know Christ, and I was cutting grass at this refinery out in Beaumont, Texas, and I was cutting grass around, and I just reached in my pocket and pulled out a can of Copenhagen and got a dip, big old dip. I'd been dipping since I was in sixth grade. Now I put that dip in my mouth, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicted my heart so bad, I was like, I'm not supposed to have this. I took that dip out, threw it away, and I never took a dip again. A few weeks later, I was the ringleader for our senior class skip day, okay? So we had a class of about 400 people, and I'd been promoting this, and for months, like starting in February, I'd been promoting about like, hey, we're gonna go in April, and we're gonna have this thing out at my grandpa's lake, and it's gonna be fun, and we're gonna have a good time. And so that was February. Around the end of March, I came to know Jesus, but I'd already planned this big event, and so we had it scheduled, and we go out to my grandpa's lake, and we're hanging out. We've got couple hundred people out there, jet skis, and a couple of 100 pounds of boiled crawfish. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it was good. A couple of kegs of beer. People are getting drunk, like just hanging out and having fun. And I got this overwhelming conviction by the Holy Spirit in my heart, like, I can't do that again. I've been rescued from that way of life. And so I've got to put a filter on my life. I've got to distance myself. And so I've got to get a different set of friends. And so I did. And I had a girlfriend at the time, and that one took a little bit longer. She and I had been dating off and on since the eighth grade. And so here I am, a senior in high school, about to graduate and go on into the next year. I'm going to college. She's a senior in high school, and we're still dating. And finally, I was just eaten up on the inside, because I'm just telling you, it was not good. It wasn't a good relationship. And I was eaten up on the inside, and I just went to her and I said, we gotta break up. And she, her response was, oh, what, you're too holy now? And I said, no, it's because I can't be holy if I'm in a relationship with you. And so we ended that. And I just, my whole life started to change. This is not the case for me anymore, but back then, like, country music, I love country music. I mean, I grew up in Southeast Texas, where country music is, Mark Chestnut and Tracy Byrd grew up like 5 miles from my house. They were my heroes. And I stopped listening to country music because all of country music was talking about drinking beer and chasing women. And that was affecting my relationship with God, so I cut that off. And I just started going to church every Sunday morning. We had Sunday school, and I would go to church Sunday morning for church, the worship experience. And then we had church on Sunday night. Come on, like, you guys don't even know. Like, y'all come for an hour on Sunday, and you, like, check the box. Church on Sunday night was, like, 3 or 4 hours long. I mean, it was, like, go after Jesus for a long time. Then Tuesday nights, I was in this leadership class, and we were talking about don't be a turkey, but be an eagle. Like, you know, like, turkeys flock together and do bad stuff, and eagles fly, they soar. And I wanted to be an eagle. So I was in that Tuesday class, and then Wednesday night we had church, and then Thursday night was prayer. Friday night was Bible study. I was at church every night of the week. Saturday mornings, I'd get up and go get on the riding lawnmower and cut the grass at the church. Come on. I was at the church as much as I could be, because I wanted to filter out the world. I wanted to live a life for Jesus. Now, you may say, that's radical, Jeremy. I would say, yeah, it was. As radical as it sounds, I made a break from the world. And I'm not bragging. I'm like Paul, I'm not boasting in anything I did. I just know I died to the world. I had to Google the reference to Drake, because I don't know who that is. I don't listen to that stuff. I saw an ad that came across Facebook about 50 Shades of Grey. That's the only reason I said that. Like, that's not something I'm into, because I made a break from the world a long time ago. And here's the action step. Comes from 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Stop acting like a child of the world. You're a child of God. So act like your identity says you are. And here's the action step. It's separation. Humility. Humble yourself. Choose. Draw a line in the sand. Make a choice. And separate yourself from the ways of the world. So I want to invite you to bow your heads right where you are. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you do as a result of this message. And you'll sense it in your heart. You'll know exactly what to do. Just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? And now, what is He asking you to do as a result of this? For some of you, you may be here today, and you may have come only checking out this whole church thing and checking out Christianity, but today you need to make a decision. It's a surrender. a decision to surrender your will, to trust Jesus for your life and your eternity. So if you're here today and you would say, Jeremy, I need to surrender my life to Christ, I want to ask you to make a bold step. And that is, I just want you to lift up your hand right where you are. You're here today and you want to surrender your life to Christ right where you are. Just lift your hand. No one looking around. Everybody got their head bowed. Yeah, I see those hands. Awesome. Put them down. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends here that you give them courage to surrender their life to Christ. If you're here and you just raised your hand, I want to invite you to pray out loud and together with me. And those of you who are in the faith family here at CLT, would you pray aloud and together as well to give our friends confidence to pray? Pray this aloud and together with me. Heavenly Father, here I am. I surrender my life to you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I might live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.